Shalom uvracha to all. Welcome back to the OUL Parsha app, Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar. So the Sefer Bamidbar deals with many narratives of some sins that the Bnei Israel committed in the desert as they sojourned. Actually, all of the narratives are really in year 1 and 2. And in Parshas Chukas, with the laws of Parah Aduma, we skip from the Korach rebellion in year 2 to Misas Miriam in year 40. But the beginning of the book narrates for us the people's preparation to leave Matan Torah, Har Sinai, and journey to the land of Israel. And then Perek Yud Aleph, things begin to sour. Vayi am kimisonim rabba aznei Hashem. We have the misonim, we have kibrasa taiva, Perek Yud Beis, Miriam Zashen Hara, Perek Yud Gimel, Yudala, the sin of the spies, Perek Dazayin Yudzayin, the sin of Korach. So there's some errors that are done, but I want to talk about this. Just an overview. And then we skip to year 40. That's just an overview of the Sefer, but I'm going to talk about the very beginning of the Sefer. Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar. So how does it begin? With a census. Moshe has to take account of the nation. Bamidbar Aleph Aleph. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Bamidbar Sinai Ba'ol Moed Ba'achad HaChodesh HaSheni B'Shana HaSheni Siltesim Meretz Yitzrayim Leimar. Hashem spoke to Moshe in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tent of meeting on the first of the second month. That's what we call Rosh Chodesh Iyar. And the second year from when the children of Israel left Egypt, Su as Rosh Kol Adas B'nai Yisrael Mishpachosem, take account, a head count of the entire assembly of the B'nai Yisrael for their families, the base of Osem, for their father's household, but Mispar Shemos calls a Zechar L'Gogolosem, according to the number of their names, every male, according to their head count, Liben Esrim Shana V'Mala, from the age of 20 and up, Kol Yotzei Tzava B'Yisrael, everyone who goes out to the army in Israel, Tifkudu Osem, you shall take account of them, Litzav Osem, according to their host, their legions, Atav Aron, and with you shall be every man for the tribe, the head of the father's household. Okay. So I'm going to quote from Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav Zatzal. Su'u es rosh kol adas b'nei Yisrael. You shall take account. Sefer Bamidbar is known as Sefer Pikudim. The appellation of Sefer Bamidbar, each of the books have an appellation. Bereishis actually has three. Sefer Yashar, Sefer Yetzira, Sefer Simanim. Shemos is Sefer HaGu'ula. Sefer Vayikra is Torah's Kohanim. Devarim is Mishnah Torah. And Sefer Bamidbar is Sefer Pikudim, because there was a count, a census taken of the b'nei Yisrael. And that's how the Sefer begins. So Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav, teaches very beautifully. Take a census of the entire assembly of Israel. What was the purpose, asks the Rav, of the census? Nachmanides, the Ramban, as quoted by the Rav, offers two explanations. The first is that the Torah wishes to emphasize God's kindness in transforming a family of 70 souls, b'shuvim nefesh, yardu avosenu l'mitzrayim, in transforming a family of 70 souls into a nation as numerous as the sand of the sea. As Hashem said to Yaakov, we started off as 70 souls, Yaakov uvan of Yardu Mitzrayim, and we became a great nation. That's the Ramban says is the first purpose of the census. It teaches us God's kindness that we became such a vast nation, if you will. The second reason for this count, says the Ramban, is that so each Jew would pass before Moshe and Aaron to be known to them by name. Okay. That's one of two reasons. And it's very interesting because in Pasuk Beis, the Pasuk says, B'mispar Shemos, Kol Zechar L'Gogolosem. It doesn't just say you should know the number, the mispar. It just says Shemos. You should know the name of every male according to the head count. Says the Rav, Nachmanides, the Ramban's two explanations reflect two different types of counting. The purpose of the first type of counting is to simply gain knowledge of the total number of an item. For example, says the Rav, one counts money because he wishes to know how much money he has. It is the total that interests him. The individual coins or bills have no intrinsic significance, so he's not in this case. Now, if you're looking for a parking spot on a place where there are meters, you're interested to know how many individual quarters you have. But if you want to know the total sum of money, you're not interested in how many quarters, how many nickels, how many dimes, how many singles, how many fives. What you want to know is the total. The individual coin, says the Rav, or bills, have no intrinsic significance. What's important is the total. The second type of counting, says the Rav, has a different objective. The ultimate goal is to recognize and appreciate each individual. And it is not necessarily concerned with the total number. So in this case, every quarter is very important. How many quarters do I have? And how much time will I have on the meter? And how much time will I have to park? That's just an example, of course. The Ramban indicates each person would pass before Moshe and Aaron. They counted the people by going from house to house. And in the process, Moshe and Aaron, the leaders, the rulers, learned about each family and how they lived. The transmission, says the Rav, of the second tablets, the second set of Luchos, initiated a new phase in the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. Remembering Kitisa the Cheda Egal, Vayishabram Le'enecha, Moshe smashed the first Luchos, and then he went up on Yom Kippur. He comes down with the second set of tablets. With the giving of the second Luchos, says the Rav, the covenant of Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law began. Moshe became the Rebbe of the entire Jewish people. Quote, and a Rebbe must know and care for all of his students. Therefore, God commanded Moshe, take a census of the entire assembly of Israel by number of names, b'mispar shemosam, every male according to the headcount. It was not enough for Moshe Rabbeinu to know the total number of the Jewish people. Yes, that's important. But Moshe had an added obligation. As the Rebbe of the entire Jewish nation, he had to know every Jew by name. And therefore the words b'mispar shemos, again this is in Pasuk Beis, suggest an intimate relationship with every individual. God commanded Moshe to call each man by name because every individual possesses something unique. To be an effective Rebbe, says the Rav, Moshe had to know each person as an individual with his own background, his own life experience. This is such a beautiful idea. It's the Rav, of course, based on the Ramban. It's such a beautiful idea with such a practical Musar Haskal and such relevance. It's not enough to know how many children there are in the classroom. The Rabbi or the teacher, the Mechaneches or the Mechaneich, must know, the Rav speaks about his Cheder Malamed in Kaslavish, must know every individual who makes up the entirety of the class. For Reuven is not like Shimon, is not like Yehuda, is not like Levi, is not like Zvulun, is not like Yisachar. Every individual counts, every individual is different. And so yes, though we want to know how many children are in each class, a Rebbe must adapt and learn how to speak to each individual. Of course, not lost. This is the words of the great Shlomo HaMelech, Chonuch Lenar Alpi Darko, Gam Ki Yazkin Lo Yasser Mimenu. Educate every child according to their own way, so that when they got old, they will not deviate from the path. A Rebbe must not only know B'mispar, he must also know the Shemos. And this is true not only of our mechanchim, our mechanchos, our teachers, it is also true of parents. And a parent has to be intuitive, and grandparents, intuitive and discerning and wise and graced by God with the wisdom and the intelligence to understand that every child in the family, how many children are in the family, Kanayana Hurricane Yerbu? And what is the individual needs, wants, desires, hopes, dreams, intelligence levels, interests of every individual child? A parent or a teacher who tries to educate and raise each child in the exact same fashion will find that most likely they are not successful. Because just like every Jew is different and unique and needs a different approach, every child is unique and special and needs a different approach. I want to quote a number of maisim from the great Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, one of our Gedolei Hador, his Nifter on Chof Dal Kislev a number of years ago, famously lived in Bnei Brak, one of the Gedolei Hador. So he was a tremendous, it doesn't need me to say anything about him, but Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, besides for being an unbelievable Talmud Chacham, and a leader of Kli Yisrael, was very intuitive and wise when it came to caring for, loving, and being mechanech every child. The Gemara says, I'm quoting from the biography of Aaron Leib Steinman, it's published by Artskol Masora. The Gemara says that if someone finds a lost object and picks it up, he is obligated to try and find the owner. That's from Maseches Bava Metzia. If he doesn't pick up the object, he is not required to seek the owner. In a discussion with his grandson, Rav Asher Steinman, Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, stated, once a school accepts a student, even if the student turns out to be disruptive, he should not be sent away unless he is adversely affecting the Yiras Shamayim, the growth and the God-fearing nature of the other children. The Hanhala, the administration, may be of the opinion that the easiest way to deal with a problem, Talmud, a problem student, is by casting him away. While this may be the easiest route, correct chinuch demands that the school work with the child and assist him to overcome his challenges. Like a lost object, the lost child has been picked up by the school, and unless he is adversely affecting others, the school is responsible to do its utmost to return him to a place of Yiras Shamayim, even if it would be easier to send the student elsewhere and have another school deal with the issue. So the sensitivity, the kindness, the love, and the chachma and the bina that he had, an understanding that every child is an individual and we can't just lump a whole class or a whole school together. We have to look at this child's needs and everyone has to do their utmost to deal with this child. The next story is also extremely powerful. Rav Chizkiyahu Mishkovsky said that when a Rosh Yeshiva wanted to expel a Bacher from his school, he came to Rav Aaron Leib Steinman. and he told him why the boy is to be expelled. Rav Aaron Leib said to this Rosh Hashiva, what is the boy's mother's name? If the Rosh Hashiva answered, he didn't know. Rav Aaron Leib said, Rabbeim and Rosh Hashiva must daven for their struggling student. A Rabbi Rosh Hashiva who does not know a boy's full Hebrew name and his mother's full Hebrew name cannot contemplate expelling him because obviously he has not yet davened for that Talmud or that student. Once again, such a beautiful illustration. We must invest our entire selves into being mechanic for the future generation. And Paro said to Moshe, Perek Tes, Sefer Shmos, Mi v'miho cholchim, who's going? B'ne'ureinu u'v'zikneinu neilech. B'tzoneinu u'v'karenu b'baneinu u'v'noseinu ki chagol Hashem machar, chagol Hashem lanu. If the youth and the elderly don't go, then we're all not going. Because that represents, the elderly represent the past, the seniors represent the past, the zikneinu, the ne'ureinu represent the future. And we come to chinuch, this idea, but midbar calls zecher the Google, so lo sem yes, every male according to the headcount, but b'mispar shemos. You have to know the total number, but you have to know the individual needs of every child. Wamar v'nefem of Aaron Leib Steinman. There was talk in Panovich about expelling a certain bachur. After deliberating with the other Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Aaron Leib made the decision to allow the boy remain while keeping an eye on him, to make sure he did not adversely influence other Talmidim. Several days later, one of the Rosh Yeshiva Panovich was in the Steinman home, waiting to speak to Rav Aaron Leib. He asked Rabbitin Steinman, in the presence of another Rav, what does a bachur have to do wrong in order to get thrown out of a yeshiva? It seems your husband, the Rosh Yeshiva, always finds a way to keep a bachur in a yeshiva. Rabbitin Steinman replied, are you aware that for the last few nights, my husband has been saying to Hillel for this bachur that he should stay on the right path? She told the other Rav that when Rav Aaron Leib finds out that a bachur did something wrong, he cries at night over his Tehillim, imploring Kosh Baruch Hu to show the bachur Rachmanis on the correct path. There are many ways of being mecharich, but we cannot forget about hishtadus, concrete efforts. We cannot forget about ahavas Yisrael. We cannot forget our children are the future. And we cannot forget about the power of tefillah. Small docha, v'yamin mikaravas. It's true we push away with the left hand, but it's true that we bring forth and closer with the right hand. And this is what this idea that the Rav teaches based on the Ramban reminds me of. Moshe had to take a camp, but Moshe had to be a Rebbe and a father and a mother. He himself says that in Ba'alos Chaperiket Aleph. He himself says that. Kasher Yisa Omenesa Yonek, he has to carry Klai Yisrael like a mother carries a nursing child. He has to be the mother and the father and the parent and the therapist and the rabbi and the mechanich. And in order to do so, it's not enough to know b'mispar, the number. You have to know shemos, the name of each and every single one, so you can cater to their needs and elevate every yid according to what they need as best as possible. Kosh Baruch Hu should enlighten us all to always be on the right path to help our Talmidim, our children, our grandchildren, the next generation to carry on the path of Torah and Yerushalayim, best appropriate for each child according to their way. I wish you all a wonderful day. Be'ezer Hashem kol tov, b'soros tovus, and be'ezer Hashem shabbat shalom.